Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I don't know about him.
Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1. Mark, have you been able to follow along this morning a bit?
Yes, I've been watching it as much as possible, Annie. And whatever you do, don't call him Mr. Venman.
No kidding. That was a little feisty. You know, I remembered going back to, you remember when Matt Whitaker, I guess he was the acting attorney general, when he, I don't even remember what he was testifying about, but he was really kind of defiant. And then you go back to Peter Strzok's testimony, hard to forget what he looked like when he was there answering questions. Hillary Clinton even was a bit dismissive in the way that she answered questions. Here's the correction.
Mr. Venman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Venman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Venman.
So we find out here from Ryan that they're reporting that he was asked to be the defense minister of Ukraine. He seemed to be a little put off by Devin Nunes there, corrects him during the hearing. What's your assessment of Venman as a witness here in these impeachment trial hearings?
Yeah, I was not impressed from the beginning. And then all you need to understand from anybody who's served in the military, you know, everybody talked about his credentials through, because that's what they needed to do. They needed to establish his credentials, and clearly he served honorably for the majority of his career. But when you get in a situation where your superior goes skirts around you out of fear that you're either going to leak information or doesn't include you in certain circles of information, that's an indication of a problem. And I think that Jim Jordan and Devin Nunes and some of the others, Ratcliffe, they made that point pretty effectively today. This Morrison guy who's going to testify this afternoon, that'll be interesting because he's the one who excluded Venman specifically out of fear that he might have been a leaker. And, you know, Jim Jordan got to that point today, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
He got the guy to it, almost got him to talk about who the whistleblower was. There are two people he leaked to, his brother and another member of the security staff, which was probably this CIA analyst that everybody believes is the whistleblower.
Yeah, you know, there was a recounting here of a conversation that took place earlier today on Twitter by Sean Davis, who is a co-founder of The Federalist. Jim Jordan says, why didn't you go directly to your superior with your concerns? Venman says, it was a really busy week. Also, the lawyer told me not to talk to anyone else. And Jordan says, and yet you talk to your brother, to George Kent, and a CIA person you won't name. I'm still waiting to find or to hear that big fact drop of where we go on the Republican side where you're leaning in. You want to make sure that the republic that you have is yours if you can keep it, and you are waiting for that factual information to make you go, oh, I see what they're talking about here. This president did something really wrong, and I can see their focus and their concern for the future of our country. I'm not seeing it yet.
Well, you haven't seen it because it doesn't exist. This is so clearly, when you have Nancy Pelosi issuing a letter to fellow Democrats that we must impeach him because we can't trust the American people to make the right decision next November. I mean, come on, that's like something out of Hydra in the Marvel movies. We don't trust the public to, you know, we'll reach a point at this country where the public can't make the proper decisions. We may need to be ready to step in and take over. That's really what that language sounds like. It's disturbing on so many levels. And, Annie, they don't have the goods, which is why they've switched the wording to bribery, because quid pro quo is not mentioned in the Constitution, but bribery is mentioned as a high crime. So now suddenly they've taken a few polls and they've decided they have to convince the public that he committed bribery. Nobody's buying it. I don't think Venman helped their case today. I don't think, is it Jessica, the other lady, Williams? What was her name?
Jennifer Williams, yeah.
Jennifer Williams. She testified that she thought some of the language was unusual, but beyond that, she didn't raise any huge alarms or anything. Again, these are not the people that get to make foreign policy. The president gets to make foreign policy, and there's not a shred of evidence that he did anything illegal here.
Hey, Mark, it's Wiggins. Let's put the shoe on the other foot and say in a few years we have a President Warren or a President Buttigieg. Yeah, I know. I knew you'd like
You're going to kill him, Ryan. He's going to die in the middle of...
It's Mark Cox. You have to ask this question. Do you think, though, that we have a new precedent now? Do you think Republicans would do this to a Democratic president?
So sad!
Did you even hear the question, or was Elizabeth Warren in it?
Yeah. I did hear the question. You know, I don't, because here, Ryan, I mean, we all have short political memories in this country. The Republicans, a couple of them, called for impeachment hearings against Obama, but nobody took them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of issues like Fast and Furious and certainly the Benghazi situation, a few other things, which called into question, in my opinion, the decision-making process in Washington. But I don't remember anybody seriously contemplating. I mean, what you've got here is such a deep, deep hatred of Donald Trump and such a desire to overturn the election from 2016 that they've just become consumed with themselves. They've lost sight of reason. And no, I don't. I don't think that. I don't think they'd do that.
What do you think the Senate is doing right now when they're watching these and they're considering the possibility that they're going to have to take this into the Republican-controlled Senate? They're going to have to try this. They're going to have a different set of rules to abide by. It's going to look a lot different than it does right now in the Democratic-controlled House, because both party control is different, and also the House and the Senate operate differently. Lindsey Graham and Chuck Grassley and guys like that and the other senators that are in there, what are they looking for?
Well, I mean, I heard one theory on this is that Mitch McConnell originally wanted to shut this down pretty quickly, but now they see an opportunity because it'll be a forum in which they have a little more control, being the majority, to maybe drag this out a little bit. Mm-hmm. and make those Democratic senators who are in red districts, states that Donald Trump carried, have to go back home and face their constituents over the winter break, the Christmas, the holiday break, before they have to come back to the Senate. This thing may stretch into January. I wouldn't be surprised.
Mark, if it does stretch into January and the Senate does sort of take this as an opportunity to interview Hunter Biden, maybe even Joe Biden. I mean, does that just, going into the February primaries, does that end Joe Biden's chances completely?
I don't think so. Ryan, I think so many Democrats don't feel like they have any other choice. And that's got to be a bad feeling on their part. When you know, Barack Obama's best friend has to get into the race at the last minute, like Deval Patrick, it's a sign of desperation. I don't think any of this reflects well on Biden, don't get me wrong, but I mean, ultimately, I wouldn't imagine something in January, February is still going to have any worse impact on him than his daily gaffes.
Speaking of daily gaffes.
I didn't say gaffes.
You didn't say gaffes.
Did you?
Gaffes.
Oh, that's what I heard.
Mark,
you...
I got to deal with this every day. It's so gross on the show.
Did you follow the number one trending Twitter hashtag last night? I mean, did you follow Fartgate at all?
I did. In fact, we discussed Fartgate pretty extensively this morning. And I thought that the infrared video of it really sets it off.
I'm gonna call you out here a little bit. Someone said we wrote an article about it. We shared it last night on our Facebook page, and they said I expected this from Cox, but they thought that I was better than that.
Well, I've probably earned that reputation.
I apparently have ruined mine. So. Who do you think it was? You've been a news anchor. You sat at a desk off camera, I'm sure. who's your money on? Chris Matthews or Eric Swalwell?
You know, my money's on Chris Matthews. I really think that's probably what happened, because apparently it's happened before.
Oh.
And you, it's not, you know, honestly, I mean, I did see his body language. You have to watch the video of Eric Swalwell when it happens, because he kind of moves forward and gets up on his heels a little bit. So you're thinking to yourself, maybe. But I still believe maybe Chris Matthews dragging his coffee cup across the desk.
That's so to answer your question, Mark Cox has seen it and studied it many
I've
times.
I've analyzed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all have. There are suggestions on our Facebook Live right now that there was a second farter on the grassy knoll.
Off camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably Adam Shifty Schiff in the background.
Be careful. Well, Mark, it's always great to have you on the show with us. We appreciate it. We'll be tuning in tomorrow morning to get the reaction to everything that's about to happen here when they resume these public hearings, and glad we could clear some of that up with you here today.
Yeah, it smells better already. Thanks, yeah. Annie.
Bye. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.